get your story out there. I don't care if it's if you make a YouTube channel, if you write a book, if you make a podcast, if it's a Netflix documentary, if you come together with a group of other survivors, I do not care. Get your voice and story out there. Because your story, your voice is medicine. Even if you don't believe it, I'm telling you right now it is. You're listening to Alchemical Voices, a podcast exploring the lives of BIPOC, transracial adoptees, and survivors of complex trauma. Hi, I'm Jaslyn, your host, a nurse, and trauma release practitioner, curiously observing the human experience. As a Black woman and survivor of human trafficking, I've encountered many, many hardships. On the road to recovery, I discovered that storytelling unites us at heart and is where we find healing, inspiration, and encouragement. In each episode, you will hear stories from courageous souls, and we will touch on subjects such as identity confusion, the impacts of racism, complex trauma, transracial adoption, and much more. How do we rise amid trials and tribulations? How do we invite softness into our lives? We touch on these and many other questions, so tune in to experience transformative storytelling and let's heal together. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Alchemical Voices podcast. I am joined by Heather Gressett from Totem, and today's episode is part four of our four-part series. So it's the final session, or whatever we call it.
Thank you. Thank you for having me back for the fourth time. It's bittersweet, of course. And for people just tuning in for the first time, we're just going to explain a little bit about Totem and what we do and kind of what we're about. And then we'll jump right in and kind of show you what we're about. And then at the end, we'll kind of tell you some more exact details. So Totem is a nonprofit organization. We deal in really community groups, digital community groups. Our goal is to really help combat loneliness and bring people together. It's a free resource, which, you know, today's day and age for mental health is pretty hard to find. Free mental health resources. So our goal really is accessibility. We want as many people to be able to have access to, you know, this service as possible. And so we meet, part of that accessibility, we meet digitally. So if you are a busy mom and you're cooking dinner, or you don't have a car, you can still hop on. And we just go around in kind of like a group format and answer various questions. The keeper, who would be myself, always answers the question first. There's no hierarchy. We all participate equally. And we're just going to hop in today and kind of show what we do. And, you know, we want this both to show what this tool is so people can use it on their own, or to show it so people can come and check Totem out. So I wanted to close this off since this is week four and we've kind of opened up really heavy stuff over the last.
yeah.
I wanted to close this out on kind of a more gentle, more fun, light and playful week. So we're going to talk about the role of creativity in healing. And so we're going to hop right in. We're going to do a guided meditation called Awakening Your Creative Flow.
Ooh.
So go ahead and take a deep breath in and slowly exhale. Feel your body relax with each breath, releasing tension and opening space for something new. Close your eyes if that feels safe to do so today, and imagine yourself standing in a room, your favorite creative tools laid out in front of you, It could be a blank canvas, a journal waiting to be filled, or a musical instrument resting in your hands. Now picture yourself reaching for one of these tools. Feel the texture beneath your fingers. And as you begin to create, notice how easily your hands move. There's no need for perfection. Just allow your creativity to flow naturally, without judgment or expectation. This is your space, a place where emotions can be expressed freely, where healing begins with each brushstroke, each note, or each word written. Take a moment to observe how your body feels as you engage in this act of creation. Feel the energy moving through you, guiding your expression. It's not about the end result, but the process, the release, the connection, the freedom. Breathe deeply, allowing yourself to absorb this creative energy. Know that you can return to this feeling whenever you need to. Let your creativity be a bridge to your inner world, a safe space where you can express what words often cannot. When you're ready, take one last deep breath in and gently release it, slowly opening your eyes. Our first question today is, what creative outlets have resonated with you the most and why? I feel like I have a lot. I feel like I have a lot that I've connected with at different parts of my life over the years. Cooking has been a through line. My entire life. I've been cooking since I was a little kid. I've done it professionally. I make dinner for my family every day. Usually make lunch and breakfast too. I like feeding people is definitely a forever outlet. I think it resonates with me because I think one really important aspect of cooking is it engages every sense that not a lot of creative outlets necessarily do, or at least not in a very in your face way. But it's like if you're, you know, cooking a piece of chicken, you can smell the aroma, you can hear it sizzling in the pan, you know, you'll be able to taste it, you can see it. It's like there's just, it just engages you so thoroughly. And then for me, you know, it's kind of an act of surrender when I put it on somebody's plate. Like I'm allowing myself to be vulnerable, to be open to their criticism and their love. And ultimately food is, it's this really pure form of connection and pure form of love. You know, something I've always really said and really stand by is like, we can find so many things to argue about, but you'll very rarely bring up like, oh, what's your, how do you like a cookie? Like, tell me about how you like a chocolate chip cookie. And people kind of light up and they start talking about their mom or their grandma. And it's just this really beautiful form of expression that it connects you to your all of your senses. It connects you to yourself. It connects you to other people. So for me, it's like, it's not only this ability to stay grounded in the moment, but it's an ability to experience love at like a really pure level with the people that I'm sharing it with. So I have a lot of creative outlets. I love to write. I love to dance. At points in my life, I've really loved to paint, but I think cooking and the way that that connects me to myself and others probably feels like the most powerful tool. And with that, I will pass it over to you. What creative outlets have resonated with you the most and why?
Thank you. I think I have several. But I think the main one for me is writing. I love to write. It's a way I get to play with words and alchemize my thoughts, my emotions, especially my emotions. And there's something very therapeutic about writing. Can't really explain what it is. I think it's the alchemical part of it that I gain new insights or I gain better understanding of myself, the process I'm in. I mean, I also feel like this podcast is a part of my creativity. It was an idea that came to me back in 2021. And I knew that I wanted to speak with other trauma survivors. And I knew that my intention was to turn our pain, our lived experiences into something useful, into wisdom, into inspiration, into empowering a community that could uplift one another. I knew that it was, as I said, the main focus was to alchemize, to change the form of something into something else. And I think there's something very playful. I don't know if playful is the right word, but there is something almost magical when, whether it's writing or whether it's the podcast, just seeing the transformation. This is how it started out. This is the intention, and this is what it is turning into. This is what it transformed into through like this alchemical process, right? This is also why my podcast is called Alchemical Voices, because the intention is that it is storytelling, it is voices that are creating change, that are transforming lives. So yeah, I don't know if that was a long-winded answer, and I don't even know if I answered the question. But that was my attempt at least.
Absolutely. You definitely answered the question and brought up something I was actually thinking about before we started talking today. Like, creativity really is its transformation, and whether that's I'm transforming this blank piece of paper and this pen and my life experience, essentially. Beautiful, or raw piece of chicken that like probably most people aren't gonna eat or find delicious, but like you're taking these raw elements, whether that's an ingredient or a music note or your pain or some combination of all of it, and then turning it into something beautiful to share with others or to keep for yourself. That's I think that's the beautiful, really beautiful piece about creativity and creation in general, is like turning, what's seemingly nothing into something really beautiful to be ingested. Which, kind of leads us into the next question. We might have already answered it, but why is creativity important, both in general and specifically in the process of healing? I think creativity is You know, it really is everything. It's like this idea of having all of these emotions and all these lived experiences. And then, like, you know, not that therapy isn't beautiful, but like just sitting and talking, like, you can't just, that can't be all that we do with all of this lived experience and all this pain. Like, in order to translate it onto a canvas, or translate it into a song that's, you know, going to connect and move others that needed to hear those lyrics right when they heard it. It's like that, that's so powerful. And I think really kind of boils down the human experience. Like, whatever we go through, we can transform it. Everything we experience can be transformed. And it's a way for us to reclaim our voice. And it's a way for us to say, actually, I get the last word. Actually, the thing that you did to me when you held me down didn't hold me down, because I'm rising above it and I'm creating this experience that you wanted to take away my power and you wanted to take away my voice. Like, I'm showing you that you never have the final say in my life. I have that say. And so, yeah, you know, specifically in the process of healing, like, what could be more powerful? What could be more powerful to your abuser, or, you know, to whatever process you went through, cancer, just to say, like, fuck you. My life deserves beauty. And my life deserves creativity. And nobody gets the final say in my life but me. And so I'm getting that say through my food, or I'm getting that say through dance, or I'm getting that say through, you know, this song that I wrote, or this poem. And then when we share that creativity, not that we always have to, I think it's perfectly acceptable to hold some things to ourselves, but, you know, for you, like with this podcast, it's like you're not just saying that this is my way of reclaiming my voice. It's like it's giving voice to the voiceless. It's connecting with other people that have lived through the same thing and saying you're not alone. And so the creative process extends so much beyond just ourselves and our own lived experience, and it starts to heal and transform others too. So the creative process is very important. It's very important in healing. It's very important in the human condition to, you know, put pen to paper and put our experience into a flow, and to breathe it into life. That, you know, when we live through these hardships, they're not stuck in a moment in time. They're not just something to feel, you know, pain about in therapy. It's like it's something that we can breathe back, we can breathe life into and make into our own. And with that, I will pass it over to you. Why is creativity important, both in general and specifically in the process of healing?
I think in the process of healing, it's, I think I already said it in the first question, when I answered the first question, but it's a way of alchemizing all that pain. It can be an outlet. And as we use creativity as an outlet, we, if we want, can share that creativity with the world, and that can awaken something within others. It can, you know, it can start a ripple effect. And I mean, that was the essence with this podcast. You know, like I said before, when one person shares their story, it can, one person's voice can be the medicine and the catalyst for someone else's healing, you know, and then eventually it's going to have a ripple effect. And before you know it, so many of us feel more healed and more empowered because we listened, we heard someone's story, and then we felt empowered to use our voice too in whatever way feels right for us. So yeah, so in terms of healing, it helps empower us if we choose to use it as an outlet, and by doing so it can empower and inspire others. And in general, I just think it's beautiful to share our creativity with the world, because our creativity is an expression of our inner world, you know, what's going inside within. And by sharing it with others, we get to, I feel like, I don't know if influence is the appropriate word, but we get to share a little of ourselves with the external world. And by doing so, there is a potential to make a positive impact. You know, music is a great example. I'm sure you know, I'm sure you've experienced listening to a song that just touches your heart and can bring tears, you know. And I think it's beautiful when art, when creativity can touch other people on such a profound level.
I love that. And yes, I've cried to many songs.
Me too. Right now it's India Irie Worthy. Yeah, she sings, oh, I can't even remember now. What is it? I can't remember.
I love her.
Yeah, me too.
Her next question is, think of something you created during a tough time. How does revisiting it now help you see your growth? So I feel like a lot of things, but the thing in particular that is sticking out to me, I'd mentioned, I think on episode one, I can't remember, maybe a few episodes, that I had been diagnosed with an illness in, I think it was 2019, and had a surgery, you know, not long after. And it was an illness that had gone undiagnosed for a decade, from the size of the tumor that the surgeon caught. And ultimately, that illness wreaked havoc, not just on my body, but really on my mind. And I had been misdiagnosed so many times by mental health professionals, really because, and I mean, I can only speak to America's healthcare system, but we really don't look holistically at the person. They just kind of identify one symptom and that's what they run with. And so I presented as bipolar, I had presented as like severe depressive disorder, I presented it as all these things. And, you know, they did talk therapy with me, but they also medicated me pretty heavily. And my body didn't respond well to them because that wasn't actually what was happening to me. So I was severely depressed and had really intense suicidal ideations to the point that I was hospitalized. And I had so much outpouring of love and support, and I just couldn't understand how I had such an amazing life and such an amazing support system and still just wanted to die all the time. And eventually I ended up making a book for myself. It was just kind of like a picture book, and I had pictures of myself and poems I had written. And I'm a longtime pastry chef, so I copy pasted reviews online of people talking about my food. And it helped me in those moments where I felt like I was at the brink of death to look and remind myself who I was and why I mattered. And so now when I look at that, it's almost like I'm at the outside looking in. It feels surreal. Now that I've had that surgery and my body and mind are working correctly, I can't possibly imagine how I felt that bad. But I also remember what it felt like at the same time. So it's like, I know how I felt that bad, but I can't ever possibly imagine feeling like that again. It's so foreign. And so it's really incredible to look at that book and say, like, it's amazing that I ever needed this as a tool. And so now the tool is showing me my growth, showing me, you know, what that surgery did for me, showing me that how important it is to advocate for people that are presenting with these symptoms. You know, talk to your doctor. It might be Cushing's. Like, it might be Cushing's syndrome. It might be Cushing's disease. And so many people go undiagnosed and either commit suicide or die from it because they never get the proper diagnosis. And it's one of the most underdiagnosed illnesses right now. And so yeah, it's just, it reminds me how far I've come. It reminds me of the work there is still to do for people in that community. And it reminds me that I'm pretty badass. I've been through a lot and I'm really strong and I made it through it. And, you know, I don't know, honestly, sometimes I don't know how I was, you know, I've sat in bathtubs with my, you know, wrist slit, and I've taken pills, and I've tried probably every way except for a noose around my neck to try and kill myself. And I somehow, whether it's me or some force outside of me, I'm like still here having this conversation. And so, yeah, it's almost like a, in a weird way, it's almost like a first place prize. It's like I can look at it and say all of that hard work, you know, all of that hard work has led me to where I am. So with that, I will pass it over to you. Think of something you created during a tough time, and how does revisiting it now help you see your growth?
I mean, honestly, I feel like I'm doing it right now. I'm currently in an outpatient treatment for CPTSD, and it's brutal. I've never in my life experienced anything like this. And I've been in therapy since I was 16, on and off. Never experienced anything at this level. It is, I have no words. And then I look at the podcast. I look at this is going to be the 30th episode. And even though the podcast is almost 2 years old, and I know that many other people could have released many, way more episodes than I have, I'm so incredibly grateful for the beautiful conversations I've had the capacity to not only participate in, but also hold space for. Because while I've been having these conversations, even this conversation, I told Heather before starting recording that this week is exceptionally challenging for me because I am moving through the emotional hangover of a very intense therapy session 2 days ago. So the fact that I'm sitting here having this conversation with you now, and all the other 29 episodes that I have recorded, edited, all the work. I mean, it's me. I haven't hired anyone to do the work. I'm doing it in my own pace and when I have the capacity, which is also why this is going to be the 30th episode in over like 2 years. It's because I've been dealing with a lot of things simultaneously. So for sure, this podcast, I could say my nursing degree, but I just feel like no, I feel like the podcast is it also because it's very creative. And even the music that is in the podcast, everything I have chosen, nothing is by coincidence. Everything is thought out. And no, it's absolutely not perfect. I know that I use the wrong terms and don't pronounce words right and blah, blah, blah. I mean, I was so anxious about that in the first many episodes, and I'm like, fuck it, I'm human. I speak English, you can understand me. You know what I mean if I say something wrong. Yeah, I'm actually very proud, and I feel it. I feel it every time I've done the editing and put in the beginning and the end, the music and everything, and I play it through. I'm like, I did that. I friggin' did that. And how bloody cool is it that I get to have these conversations and like edit them, put in the music, and then art comes out of it, and I send it out in the world, and someone feels inspired by it. Like, how incredible is that? Yeah, I think that's incredible. Yeah.
It absolutely is. And it's almost, yeah, you're creating music, you're creating poetry, you're creating something that will live in time for
Yeah.
people to look at. And it is beautiful. I mean, I listened to that first episode we did, and it the way it flows in the music, and it's beautiful. It's absolutely.
Yeah.
And
Thank you.
I love that this we're getting to pay accolades to it in this final this
Yeah.
episode that we're doing, and really give it the love that it deserves. It's why we're here.
Yeah.
It's why we're having this
Yeah.
conversation,
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
And you did that.
Yeah. Yeah. We did it together. Yeah. I mean, yeah, I know I made the setup. I made it happen, but and to get to embark on this journey with all these different souls is just incredible. It's a blessing, and I'm so glad that I got the idea and that it worked out. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like the co-creation piece is really, it's really profound,
Yeah.
Which leads us to our next question. Has someone else's creativity ever felt healing or inspiring to you? All the time. I mean, we look around and we could, we see art and creativity everywhere we go. It's like the graffiti mural down the street and the aromas coming from the Mexican place. It's like it's the creativity is everywhere. And this podcast is healing and inspiring for me. And you brought up music earlier, and that's one of the ones that really, it's like, I've been driving, and I hear lyrics about, somebody's dad, and I just lose it. It's like the amount of times that I've heard a song and went like, whoa, and had to kind of stop in my tracks because I'm so touched. and songs that, you know, certainly inspire me and bring me joy. And you know, I mentioned in the first episode and maybe more episodes that I do pole dancing, and the dancers that I dance with, the studios Dance Club Asheville, and the people that I dance with are so, they're so inspiring. I get all of my inspiration from them. It's like I see them do a move or make a facial expression, and and I'm like, oh, I'm stealing that. I love that. And they're so beautiful, and they're so incredible, and they're so empowering. And yeah, so it's like it's hard to answer this question in a way that feels concise, because my brain's like, well, there's this thing and there's this thing, but that's it. Like, it's creativity is everywhere. It is all around us. It is all healing. It is all inspiring. Like, you know, the food I make, I didn't just create something out of nothing. It's like the food that has inspired other people, and that I've gotten, you know, some pretty good, I don't know, accolades, if you will, for. It's like, that didn't come from nowhere. Like, what I've always said, and what I really believe to be the absolute truth, is that, like, who am I? I stand on the shoulders of, you know, women standing over hot cast iron pans in the kitchen that passed down a recipe, who passed down a recipe. You know, I stand on the shoulders of chefs who worked, you know, 14-hour shifts in Copenhagen. I stand on the shoulders of abuelitas, you know, pushing out masa. Like, I stand on the shoulders of every woman that's been in a kitchen, every man that's been in a kitchen. Like, I am nothing but my ancestors and what they have decided to pass down. And so it's like, who inspires me? Fucking everyone. Everyone who's ever set foot in a kitchen. You know, everything that was shared with, you know, the Americas, and everything about the indigenous culture here, it all inspires me. So it's like I feel like I walk out of my house and I feel inspired. I mean, it's really challenging for me to feel uninspired, I guess. Yeah, I think I could ramble on that forever, so I'm going to stop myself now. Has someone else's creativity ever felt healing or inspiring to you?
I mean, duh. Yeah, I mean, constantly. Oh my goodness. I know that the question was, has someone's creativity, but I feel like I'm very inspired by nature, Mother Nature. Look at, go into nature, look at Mother Nature. I get so much inspiration, and even my visualizations come from Mother Nature. The same from my ancestors and the people in my life. I mean, the name of this podcast, it was actually one of my closest friends. She was considering gathering a group of people here in Copenhagen. We could come together and sing as a way of just being with our collective grief and what we were going through. I think it was for Black women. I'm not sure. It also doesn't matter. But, and then she said, I was thinking of naming it Alchemical Voices. And at that time, I knew I was going to make a podcast, but I didn't know what the name was. And then when she said Alchemical Voices, I felt full body. No way. That's the name of my podcast. That's it. And I was like, oh my God, you know, me sharing this right now, it's so funny. Because an hour ago, I was speaking with my friend on the phone and we just had this conversation. So it's just interesting that I'm sharing it again. But anyway, I was like, oh no, she's going to make this group with this name. And I can just feel this is my podcast. What am I going to do? And then it turned out all the creative ideas she had about this group that did not come to fruition. And then I was like, one day when we were on the phone, so since this group is not gonna, there's not gonna come anything out of it, you know, that name, Alchemical Voices, when you said it, I felt something within me awaken, and I just know that this is the name of my podcast. And without me even finish my sentence, she was like, yeah, you can take it if you want it. Go ahead. If it makes sense to you, then why not? And that's how I found the name of the pod. So, I mean, it's everything from my nearest and dearest friendships, music, obviously. As we mentioned before, India Re, I feel when I listen to the lyrics, I feel like it's medicine. I feel like I'm being healed. I feel like it's a sister giving me a pep talk. It's a sister reminding me of my worth. It's a sister telling me that I can alchemize my pain by tapping into my roots. And, you know, so, I mean, you, Heather Totem, we've spoke about many times, or I have mentioned many times, by having these conversations, I feel very inspired and have ideas for the future of how we can collaborate. You know? So, yeah, I feel very inspired by many things and many people.
Absolutely. I love the nature piece too. That's so, yeah. You know, hiking is part of what brought me to North Carolina. And I remember the first hike I went on out here, I wept. I looked around me and I felt like I was in a painting, but better than any painter could ever possibly imagine. It's like, you know, the world, Mother Nature is the greatest artist and musician.
Yeah. And she truly is.
Yeah. So thank you for bringing that up. Yeah. You feel free to recraft these questions however you want. they're just a suggestion is what I like to
okay.
Say. Our next question is, imagine creating something to leave as a legacy. What would it be? And what story would it tell about your life and growth? You know, I think, as you've brought up before, you know, this podcast and the work that you're doing for you is, you know, clearly part of your legacy. And I feel like to some extent, the work that I do at Totem is similar. And, you know, it wasn't my idea. I don't run the company, but I think ultimately, like for me, my role at Totem, or part of my role at Totem, is creating spaces and communities where people can come together and really just be themselves. Like this idea of being around people that you don't have to perform in front of. It's the sort of spaces I want to create. So I think like a big part of my legacy and what I want to leave, whether it's with Totem or with creating community at my house, you know, or creating community groups. I just started creating some community moms groups, like just creating spaces where people can come together and thrive on community and thrive on each other. Feels like a really huge part of my legacy. And then the other piece that I really would love to do at some point, and I will do it. I want to write a book. I have I have an ample amount of lived experience that I think would be a waste not to share. I think a lot of people could gain so much strength and perspective from hearing my experience. You know, I have only kind of like kind of brushed the surface of my actual story in these four sessions, as have you. And because that wasn't necessarily the focus, but it's funny, people will tell me I'm an old soul, which I'm sure you probably get too. And I do correct them. I say, no, I had to grow up fast. You know, I've had enough experiences that, yeah, I probably have like lived a lot of life in this one life. And most of that wasn't a choice. You know, like I didn't choose to have this kind of like old soul persona. It's like we're talking about, you know, sexual abuse, we're talking about domestic violence, we're talking about bullying and harassment, we're talking about disease. It's like I've just been through a lot, and you know, to a point that I felt like the world was out to get me and nobody must have it this bad, because it's like some new terrible thing would just happen all the time throughout my life. I felt like I was surrounded by people dying. It felt so like compounded. It felt like nobody else could possibly experience all of this. And the reality is there are a lot of people who have been through a lot of shit, not everyone, but being able to talk about it and tell people about it and share how I got through it and I coped with it and how I'm on the other side, and like I have a really good life that I wouldn't trade. I wouldn't take back any of those, you know, bad lived experiences, because my life is, I don't want to say perfect because that's not a thing, but it's like, it's whole. My life is whole, and it feels rooted, and it feels grounded, and it feels centered, and I feel alive, and I feel purposeful, and I feel joy most of the time. And when I don't feel joy, I allow myself to process emotions and share them with others and gain strength from that shared experience. So, being able to put that pen to paper, which is definitely one of my very important creative outlets, to share with the world and to share with my family and my children, and them to see like, oh my gosh, I didn't live any of this in my life because my mom went through it for me. She did it first, and then she changed the narrative for our family. Feeling a little emotional, but yeah, so legacy for me, creating community, and then I'm gonna write a book someday. It's gonna happen. And with that, I will pass it over to you. Imagine creating something to leave as a legacy. What would it be, and what story would it tell you about your life and growth?
Oh my God, first of all, this question, I mean, it's so good. But I mean, I don't even know where to start. Have you met me? I'm so ambitious. I have like big plans. I know I'm like here to be a trailblazer. I'm like here to create a paradigm shift. I'm talking autobiographies, several books, Netflix documentary. Honey, I've only just started. I don't even know where the fuck I'm headed because I have that many plans. All I can say, I'm here to make a difference in the world, and it is my intention to make the world a better place. And when I say create a paradigm shift, I want us to have a new and sustainable, holistic view on trauma, how we treat trauma, especially developmental trauma. Obviously, I'm going to be sharing my story on stages too. There is so, like you have been through just so much, so have I. And I just feel like when you have been through as much as we have, and this is not to put pressure on anyone, but if you have the capacity and the desire, get your fucking voice out there. Get your story out there. I don't care if it's if you make a YouTube channel, if you write a book, if you make a podcast, if it's a Netflix documentary, if you come together with a group of other survivors, I do not care. Get your voice and story out there. Because your story, your voice is medicine. Even if you don't believe it, I'm telling you right now it is. So I don't know if that question is my question was enough because I didn't go into detail with anything, but it's just because I have so many plans, ambitions, and myself. I don't know how all this is going to come to fruition, but I just feel it in. On a cellular level, in my bones, I am born. I survived all of that for a reason, and I'm gonna use it for something good. I'm gonna alchemize it, and I'm gonna turn all that shitty pain life experience into medicine, and I'm gonna serve that medicine to the world. Yeah.
That's absolutely right. And you will do all of those things.
Thank you for believing in me.
Oh, yeah, that's beautiful. I love that.
Thank
But,
you.
so the last question is a little different for Totem.
Oh.
So one of the things that we like to, kind of preach is we don't give advice. We don't diagnose, we don't, we speak from our own lived experience. But this last one, we'll be asking for advice. And I think it's fine because we're not giving like a, I'm not giving you direct advice on your life. But the question is, what advice would you give someone who feels they aren't creative but is seeking healing through self-expression? So, yeah, I think people that are in that situation maybe could redefine what creativity is. I think you'd be hard pressed to walk through the day and not create something. We're constantly creating. If you get out of bed in the morning, you're going to create something that day. Whether it's singing along with the radio in the car or cooking dinner for your family, like chances are pretty good you're going to create something. You just are. And so if you want to seek healing through that self-expression, my recommendation and what works for me would be to just get lost in a moment. Notice, oh, I'm making dinner for my family right now. I'm creating. Like, put on your favorite song, dance while you're cooking. Like, get lost in a moment where nothing matters but the food you're cooking and the song that you're listening to. And I think there's this idea, like, maybe around the idea of art therapy or something like has to be painting or it has to be this, or like we have to take up this ceramics class. Like it has to be like a performance. And it's like, it really doesn't have to be. Like if you've never felt like you had a creative bone in your body, if you're like a type A, like I can't play an instrument, I can't do this. It's like, but you're going to create something today. And so just be present with it, sit with it. And, you know, paper's probably sitting around your house. I bet there's a pen sitting around your house. Pick it up and just start writing and see what happens. And like, you know, you don't have to write the next great American novel. Just like what's going on in your head, put it down on a piece of paper. And whether you like it or not, you just made a piece of art. And like, you could throw it away. You can not like it, but like getting lost in little moments that you are allowing whatever's going on in your heart or whatever's going on in your brain to fall onto something, whether that's, you know, through your voice or on a piece of paper or, you know, at your family lasagna dinner, like whatever the thing is, just get lost in it for a moment and you'll feel better afterwards. So that is my non-totem question. I'll pass it over to you. What advice would you give to someone who feels they aren't creative, but is seeking healing through self-expression?
Put on music that you like. And you may have this narrative, I have no rhythm. I can't move my body. I can't dance. I have a friend that's like that. And I'm like, it doesn't matter. Put on a song you like and move your body in whatever way feels intuitive to that song. That is creativity. That is art. That is self-expression. And notice how it feels to move your body. And notice how you feel afterwards. When you finish with the song or how many songs you listen to, turn off the music and sit down and just observe how you feel. To me, that's self-expression. That's creativity. I mean, music and moving to music, the internal shifts, the inspiration, all the things that can come is incredible. And I recommend anyone, everyone try it. Yeah, that's what I'd say.
That's absolutely right. And yeah, while you were talking, I was thinking like specifically about dance and how I've had, I forced all of my good girlfriends to take a pole dancing class with me for my birthday.
Wow. So
any of
cool.
Them very hesitant. And were like, you know, I'm not like a sensual person, or I'm not this, or I'm not that. And then, of course, they all loved it. They all loved it. Like, they wanted to take more classes. And I, you know, the biggest barrier between creating something and it just being stuck in our bodies is us. It's not money. It's not money. It's not time. There's not a good excuse. Like, we are our only barriers, and the narratives and the stories that we tell ourselves, which are usually lies. Like, I'm not thin enough. I'm not creative enough. You know, I'm not musical enough. I'm not this enough. I'm not that enough. Like, we just tell ourselves these lies about ourselves. And
yeah.
Do it. Just do it. And
yeah.
It happens.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you. I even catch myself telling myself all kinds of stories. Oh, I can't do that because XYZ. And now I've started saying to myself, oh, okay, but I'm going to do them anyway. You know, just do it anyway.
And see what happens.
Because, yeah, because I think those narratives, what the intention is behind them, it's, I think it's very subconscious, but it's about keeping us safe. It's about keeping us put and not experiencing humiliation and making mistakes and just staying within our comfort zone. So I'm very aware of not following those voices and doing the exact opposite. And I'm still here, aren't I? I was terrified about this podcast, that this is just one of many examples. Terrified. Because I had this narrative about, oh, my vocabulary has to be much better. And what if I say something wrong and then people are going to think, blah, blah. And I was like, yeah. What if I do say something wrong? And I have many times, and I'm still alive. You know, the podcast is still here. People are still applying. They're even signing up for the wait list, even though I pronounced words wrong. So I think it's fine.
I say words wrong all the time. I'm like the queen of misusing phrases. I was using this. I don't think I did it on this podcast, but I could have. But I was doing it in the spaces, and I was like, "Am I? Is that right?" And I Googled it, and I was like, "I'm saying the wrong thing altogether. That's not what I'm meaning to say." But like,
Yeah.
yeah, I questioned it. So
Yeah.
confidence is key, baby.
Yeah, I catch myself doing that too all the time because sometimes when I say something in English, I first say it to myself in Danish and then I so translate it directly, and there's not you can't always do that with certain things, so it comes out the wrong way. And then there's just words I just pronounced wrong. And you know what? It's fine. I don't think anyone is looking for perfection. I know that's shit we put on ourselves, you know, and we really need to like calm down with that. Because we're all just human. We're all here on a journey. We're all here doing the best we can and creating spaces like this to make the world a better place. So let's do it without the mentality that it has to be bloody perfect. Because what is perfection even? Nothing is perfect, not even Mother Nature. And she's absolutely stunning. Okay. I mean, look at the hurricane that just like wrecked entire cities. Mother Nature is still phenomenal. So we get to be messy and imperfect too, and we're still gorgeous.
And you know, this goal of perfection, you're doing it for the wrong reasons then. You just are.
Yeah.
Like, if you sit down to process your healing so that you can write the next great American novel, or if you're doing it so you can be this prima ballerina on Broadway, like there's nothing wrong with having goals, but if you know, you want to sit down and process and heal and create for the love of creating, like don't go into it with those goals in mind.
No.
If it happens, it happens. Like, let the magic happen. But
Yeah.
you
Yeah.
know that I don't think that's a good end goal. You'll kind of drive yourself
It
nutty.
isn't. And something that I've come to understand, I can't remember which writer it was that said it, but it was a man, and he said some of his most successful work he wrote when he was deep in depression. And what he created out of that is what gave him the most success. And it had, because I had this narrative for the longest time, I have to look a certain way, my life has to be a certain way, things in my life have to, there have to be some things that are in place in order for me to do XYZ. And what I'm discovering as I'm embarking on this journey is that's not possible. There's never going to be the right time to do something. So just get out and I do it as best as I can. And obviously, I take the mental health breaks that I need and things like that. But I'm out here showing up, even though my life is far from perfect and my mental health is like all over the place, I'm here.
That's right.
So there's no perfect time, just go for it.
That's right. That's exactly
Yeah.
right.
Yeah.
I am closing us today with an excerpt from Rising Strong by Brené Brown. I think we Brené Brown quotes. Creativity embeds knowledge so that it can become practice. We move what we're learning from our heads to our hearts through our hands. And that's it.
Beautiful. Is there anything you would like to end off with?
Oh, as promised, I'll kind of just recap a little bit what we offer. So we offer digital community groups. They are all free. We currently have groups for just general self-improvement groups. Talk about everything from this most previous election to cheating to romance, kind of like talk about everything. Anything that is like part of the human experience, it gets talked about. And then we have an LGBTQIA plus umbrella. And part of that plus is allies. So that space is open to anyone in the community and anyone that supports and is an ally for that community. And they talk about a range of topics as well. And then we have moms spaces. Those are the ones that I run personally. I run some self-improvement and then some mom spaces, and we talk about everything from childbirth to expectations versus reality to mom guilt. And we also do one in-person space at the local county jail in Asheville for the women. We want to, really be accessible to all people. And, we believe that there's transformation and beauty to be held in these spaces. And we've seen it change people's lives and perspectives. And we see people every time we hold a space come in, potentially heavy and then leave lighter. And it's really incredible. So this is the format we do. We say a question, we go around, we share our answer from our own lived experience, no interruption, no crosstalk. Like, if group things are hard for you because you're introverted or you have trauma with peers and bullying, like you're never going to get talked over, you're never going to get brushed under the rug, you're never going to have to do like small talk or even be put on the spot, like if it gets to your turn and you need to pass because you're not ready to share or the question doesn't feel relevant enough to you, you can always pass. So really powerful tool. So excited to be sharing it on your podcast here, and to be sharing it with you and all of your listeners. And you're changing the world. We hope to be changing the world as well, and making it, a gentler place.
You for sure are. Absolutely. I just, yeah, slowly but surely changing lives. And I'm so grateful that we get to support each other's missions, through
That's right.
storytelling. Yeah.
Storytelling, absolutely.
Yeah. That was it for today. Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please remember to rate Alchemical Voices and follow the community on Instagram. Until next time.